Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. We've helped over 20,000 wedding parties get suited up. And here's the deal. You don't need to rent a suit. For about the same price, you can own one that's perfectly tailored for you. Over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make it so easy. Whether your groomsmen live nearby or out of state, we've got everything covered. Trust me, this is the easiest part of planning your wedding. Stop by Nick's Menswear and let us show you why we're the fastest growing suit company in the country. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer sitting in for Shope and the Bulldog today. Howdy. And we are now going to the West Her Hotline as Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker joins the show. And insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Ross, I don't think we've ever talked on this side of the radio. I feel like it's always been like a quick conversation on the phone.
That's exactly right. You always say the same exact thing every week.
Yes.
Zach, Ross, what's up? It's Zach from GR. Going to do the update, and then we'll get you guys going. Okay, let's do it.
Kim, consistency right there.
Yeah, it's a model of consistency.
I like consistency, and I like your voice too, Zach. It's
Thank
funny
you.
To hear you on this side because I really only ever hear the update, which you do a very good job of, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Look
Thank
at
you.
That. Yeah. And Ross, Derek here. We've never talked. Pleasure to be able to have the segment here with you.
Likewise, Derek. Tell me about yourself.
I'm obnoxious, I guess, is the best answer, right, Zach?
That fits. That kind of encompasses the whole thing.
If I had to sum it up quickly, I'm the energy guy, you know, like that glue guy that you need at the bottom of the roster.
Obnoxious, I feel like, can have a lot of different meanings.
Oh, it could be good and bad.
Yeah, if the obnoxious is energy, I'm all for it. If obnoxious is just bringing the energy, then I'm probably obnoxious at times.
Yes.
But obnoxious could also be like, asking really rude or weird or inappropriate questions.
Yes.
and stuff like that. So I didn't know which type of obnoxious we were talking
yeah,
about.
No. I lean toward the fun obnoxious. I'm here to have fun. Like we're on radio, baby. We should be having fun.
Poor Ross is preparing for the worst if you said obnoxious.
Yeah, I guess that was the wrong word choice, isn't it?
No, you know what, though? I love what you just said, Derek, because it, like, blows my mind away when, like, beat writers – you know, complain all the time about their job. Not all of them, but some of them. Or, you know, like, when guys on the radio sound miserable, it's like, dude, this was your dream job. Like, this is what you said you always wanted to do, and now you're doing it, and you're getting paid to just talk about sports or write about sports and go to a game, and you're miserable. Like, if you're going to be miserable, you might as well go do some other job where you make a lot more money. I mean, like, I'm like blown away by guys that I think there's some people in life, unfortunately, that would just kind of be miserable no matter what. You know what I mean? That's just who they are. I have a buddy, he's a close friend of mine. He's happiest when he's miserable, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
that's a sadist.
When he's happiest when he's complaining about stuff. And it's like, I guess we balance each other out a little bit, but there are times I either just laugh or I'm like, all right, dude, I can't do this anymore. See you later.
It's tough, too. You can see the twinkle in their eye where you're like, this is actually your happiest moment right now. This is what you were looking forward to all day. You took mental notes. You're ready to go. I think we all know those kind of people. But, Ross, before we dive into the football and all that stuff, I do want to ask, because it's the day after Christmas, how was it? How was the holiday? Spending time with the family? Or were you working yesterday?
Yeah, so I was working, mm-hmm. And I'm still working. In fact, the hotel I'm in right now, I am maybe like 150 yards from Gillette Stadium.
Oh, okay.
Because Saturday will actually be, I don't know, might be the biggest game I've ever done. I did Ole Miss Alabama last year, which I think was like 6 million people maybe for CBS, but I'm doing Chargers Patriots Saturday for NFL Network, which is the only NFL game on, and there's no like big college game on at the same time or anything. So I got to think, plus everybody needs the Chargers to lose, right? For like Colts fans and Dolphins fans and Bengals fans. So I'm anticipating us getting over 10 million people. I don't know. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's my first kind of standalone TV game, first NFL Network game. So I'm thankful that they gave me the opportunity. So I went right from work to work. Tuesday, I was able to hang out with my sister and her kids and my family, and that was incredible. And then Santa got there real early, and we did the Santa stuff from 6:15 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. yesterday. And then I drove 3 hours west from where I live in central PA to Pittsburgh, and I did the Steelers and the Chiefs on radio yesterday, and then flew from Pittsburgh up here to Boston. So not your typical holiday, but I learned that the first time as a player. Like, you're like blown away as a player when like Christmas and Thanksgiving, like you have to work, you know, like 23 years of your life, you're with your mom and dad and siblings and it's a holiday and that's what you do. And all of a sudden they're like, we have practice on Thanksgiving. We have practice on Christmas. Tough luck.
There's a game we got to cover on Thanksgiving, you know, like especially here, we were used to that with the Thanksgiving thing and kind of like the three Thanksgiving games in 4 years here for Buffalo. It was very much a frequent occurrence that me and Zach would be here on a Thanksgiving day to just cover the games. But Ross, let's get into this thing. Let's have some fun. And how are we going to start this? With the most miserable conversation in all of sports right now, which is the MVP conversation. Josh Allen, he is still the betting favorite if you're looking at any website for that. But Lamar Jackson has very much still a more than legitimate case, especially coming on as of late. His last two games has been very solid as well. Between the two of them, it really is coming into a no-lose situation for the league to be able to champion one of these other quarterbacks. But at the same time, it does look like the MVP discourse is getting a little less than friendly these days.
So I have not followed that part of it that closely. Tell me what you're seeing.
Fan bases. Very much it's fan bases going at each other. And it's more or less like, it seems like you've got to tear down a guy in order to prop another one up. And that's kind of the problem that we're seeing a lot of right now between Buffalo fans and Baltimore fans in particular when it comes to MVP discourse. But even like within the talking head shows, sometimes you'll see it. It's like, oh no, like this is, I'm going for this guy, and he's done this and this, and the other guy doesn't have that. Or like this year, it's Lamar and the numbers, but last year it wasn't about the numbers. It's becoming this very weird discourse between two players that are very well deserving for MVP.
Yes, totally agree. I would have no problem with either one. You know, the thing for Lamar is, he's already won it twice, but it does feel like this is the best year of his career. So I think he has a very strong argument because of that. The flip side I would say is that, you know, there's a reason why they have five losses, and their defense has not been great until recently. And so that's a big factor there. But I would also say, like, we've seen a lot of games this year where Josh clearly willed the Bills to the victory, right? Like that was He was the guy. Even the loss to the Rams, he totally willed them to them even having a chance in that game. They've only lost three. You know, I think you could point to some coaching mistakes in a couple of those losses as well. They've beaten the Chiefs. Whereas for the Ravens, you know, there's multiple games where Lamar didn't really come through at the end in an opportunity to win the game. I called the game against the Browns, and if he played better in that game, you know, they would have won the game against the Browns. So I think, you know, statistics are important, but I am a believer in win-loss as a quarterback stat. It's an imperfect stat, but so is every stat. You know what I mean? Like, how many yards a guy rushes for? Well, there's a lot that has to do with that. The scheme, the O-line blocking, the defense, what they called, you know, even like interceptions, you know, how many of them were tipped? How many of them, you know, were just terrible throws? Even yards passing, right? Like, what if you throw the ball 5 yards out to Deebo Samuel and he takes it 80 yards? I just think my point would be every stat is a somewhat imperfect stat. And if we're going to associate one loss record with head coaches, why would we not associate it with quarterbacks when they definitely have more to do with the outcome of the game than the head coach does?
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Yeah, it's kind of why like I've even gotten to the MVP award. I'm typically okay when a running back doesn't get it now, just because you see the value that quarterbacks have. They're the only position that really moves the betting lines or what have you. They're the only position it feels like that if a guy is taken off their team, they could go from a 10-11 win team to like a 4-win team just by his presence not being there. I will say though, Russ, and I do want to get a little bit more on the Bills game against New England and their game against the Jets. The last 2 years, running backs, though, I almost wouldn't be against them even getting a shout for MVP. Chris McCaffrey last year, and then Saquon Barkley this year. Hurts is I guess, maybe trending towards not playing with his concussion, and it might be Kenny Pickett. But over the next 2 weeks, if Saquon Barkley can just rush for, I think, like 250 yards, he gets the all-time rushing record. I feel like he still has to have a shout at it.
Yes, if he gets the record. I don't think he will. I think that if the Eagles win this week and they're kind of locked into the 2 seed, which is very possible, I'd be surprised if they played him or other key players in that last game against the Giants. So I don't think they're going to go for the record. I will say for any of these type of conversations, I am a firm believer that how you finish makes a big, big difference. We see that all the time. You know, Lamar Jackson just had a standalone game that everybody was watching on Christmas, and he was lights out. He was fantastic. Whereas Saquon Barkley, in a big game against Washington in the second half, I think he had like 37 yards on 19 carries or something. Like, that's you need to make a really strong push at the end, and I think it matters, which brings us to the Bills in the sense that if they beat the Jets, they're locked into the 2 seed. So I don't know if they play Josh in that last game. I don't know if that helps or hurts him. I mean, if Lamar puts up more crazy numbers and the Ravens win the game and they're the 3 seed and Josh doesn't play that last Sunday, you know, right or wrong, it kind of will be held against them. People will just remember the last thing they saw. You know, Josh didn't play that great against the Patriots last week, right? Like, his numbers weren't that impressive. He didn't do that much. You know, we'll see what he does against the Jets, but we're not smart people, okay? We really tend to remember the last thing that happened, and so you need to make sure the last thing that happened is impressive.
That's the thing. That's maybe the thing I've seen most with the discourse is that it really is an award, and a lot of them are. Is what have you done for me lately? And I remember I think Peter Schrager talking on The Ringer like a week ago, talking about how, well, Allen's not going to play a nationally televised game for the rest of the year, while Lamar's going to have like two or something like that. And you saw it on Christmas Day. I mean, he goes off. They blow out Houston yesterday, and that's kind of the talk of the town now. Even though I will say Derrick Henry had like 150 yards rushing. He also himself had a really good game.
I'll say one more thing, too. Two things. One is I love Saquon Barkley. He's an Eastern PA guy, Penn State guy, Eagles guy. It would be very, very hard for me to make an argument that he's more valuable than Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. Very, very hard. Mm-hmm. Very hard. I just, as great as he is, I think he's not as valuable as Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are. Correct me if I'm wrong. Has Josh ever won it?
No.
Wow, that's interesting. I knew that, but I kind of, there's part of me like he had to have won it one of these years, right? But evidently he didn't.
He's kind of entered the Drew Brees and Russell Wilson kind of era of his career, where everyone's like, oh, he should have won. Oh, he didn't? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think that should help him. I think people, you know, the way the Hall of Fame voters are, where it's like, well, this guy has been waiting his turn, so he deserves it. He's up next. I think that would help him. You know, I don't know that. But you'd like to think that if it's a tie goes to the guy that didn't win it last year and hasn't already won it twice.
Ross Tucker joining us here on the Wesser Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Ross, when it comes down to the context of, like you had mentioned, Saquon might be sitting at this point, Josh Allen might be sitting, how do you think teams are going to be handling the end of the season, as so many seeds have been very much set in stone here with 2 weeks left in the season? How do you think these teams are really going to predicate the balance between showing everything in their arsenal? Because Josh Allen says something about that. Do we hold back or do we go out all out and unleash our arsenal? But the two seed is almost all but wrapped up for them. All they need to do is just win one of these next two games.
Yeah, I think most people will rest their guys, their key guys. They will not take that injury risk, and they'll want to have them as fresh and as healthy as possible for the playoffs. You know, especially these teams that obviously aren't, you know, they're not getting these byes, right? So they're not getting the bye. You got to kind of give them a bye if you're able to. So I think a lot of them, for the most part, will end up giving those guys off. And I think that's the right decision. The season's now 17 games, 18 weeks. It's a long season. And, you know, if you ask most players, and I probably would have put myself in this, you know, if you said to me, like that last game against the Steelers in 04, Ross, you can be a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, a little bit longer arms, a little bit bigger, whatever, I would say, can I just feel a little bit better, please? You know what I mean? Like, can I just feel a little bit healthier or feel a little bit better? I had that herniated disc in my back. I think most players, if you ask them what they would want this part of the season, they would just want to feel a little bit better than they do. And I think coaches, if they're being smart, should realize that.
Ross, last thing for me. You mentioned Chargers-Patriots. You're going to be on the call for that game over on NFL Network Saturday, a 1 p.m. kickoff. I will tell you, I think both teams are really fascinating. Maybe not necessarily for this year overall. I'm a big Jim Harbaugh guy. I think he's going to do wonders for the Chargers going forward. Ross, I'll tell you, though, I love Drake May. I loved him coming out of North Carolina. I think the Patriots have hit the nail on the head here. And even last week against the Bills, I thought he had some really dynamic plays, great throws. What have you seen from him and I guess really the Patriots overall this year?
Yeah, well, I did their game a couple weeks ago against Arizona the week before Buffalo for CBS, and I think he's fantastic. I am thoroughly, thoroughly impressed. And yes, he can run. Yes, he can make good throws. To me, the biggest thing I always look for is, does he consistently do the right thing? Does he make the smart decision? You know, Drake May at times threw the ball away against Buffalo When there was nothing there on the screen, he threw the ball in the dirt. When there was a chance to run and pick up a few yards, he did that. He just gets it, right? He just gets it. And I think that that is as important as anything, is to have a guy that has that type of understanding, and that's Drake May, and I think he's going to be good for a really long time. The question is, you know, how fast they can get the rest of the team around him to be even halfway decent. I mean, that's what makes what he's done this year all the more impressive. You know, they have the worst receiving core in the NFL, probably. They have the worst O-line in the league. I mean, that's pretty impressive, right? Like, worst O-line, worst receiving core, and he's still playing this well? That's super impressive.
Yeah, and this is a team, too, and speaking of the receivers, I mean, they took Jalen Polk out of Washington and then Javon Baker out of UCF, and I don't think really either of them have done much of anything so far this year.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, Baker, I think he's been a guy that's been a lot of like healthy scratches and somewhat of a disciplinary issue. I think that was back when they were overseas as well. Like, he missed curfew and stuff like that. It's been a really bad season for New England, with that one bright spot being the most important position in sports with Drake May. Ross, thank you so much for jumping on with us. Have a great call on a Saturday. We'll be watching, man.
That was great. Great talking with you guys. See ya.
Ross, Happy New Year, too.
Happy New Year. Oh, that's right, next Wednesday. Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Don't worry, I got you.
Ross Starker's appearances on WGR, brought to you by, in part, Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Real quick, though, on Drake May and that whole team, really.
Yeah.
They scare me, and Sal brought up, too, they're going to have a lot of cap space, early picks as well. I just don't know about Mayo at head coach. I just don't know.
And that's what I said with him was, if they figure out the head coaching position or they figure out the coaching staff, those are the words I said. And that's probably what it is. I'm not sold on Mayo. I don't think that anyone should be sold on him, because there were a lot of times where he had the Bills in a situation where you could change the dynamic of the game and he punted the ball.
Yeah, I was just about to say that too. It's like, I think in my head it's 3 4th downs in particular.
Yes.
That in my head it was easily go for it.
And then there was another one that he went for with a fake punt.
Yeah, what were they, 3-11?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's go for it. Come on. You got them on the ground, your foot's on their throat. Go for it.
Not to mention, it gives you situational ball that you can use to assess with the quarterback.
Yeah.
It gives you situational ball practice that you could use for as a head coach. It gives you opportunities right now when it gets real and when there are stakes for you again. Why not practice it at 3-11?
Yeah.
Instead of having to worry about it for the first time when you're trying to scrape and claw your way for a wild card spot.
And it was really the one down 10 with like under 8 to go. They don't go for it. They just punt it. And you're just like,
defense on the ropes most of the
game. It feels really unserious. And this is where my biggest issue, I haven't talked a lot about the college football playoff, but real quick here, that was my only issue in round one. Blowouts happen, especially in college football. I mean, go back to years, the BCS bowls, those January 1st bowls, you'd have one or two really great games and a lot of blowouts.
Not to mention, you know, there was a title game for the playoff.
Yeah,
That was a blowout. Georgia TCU.
It happens all the time. I mean, and even like little teams getting in and going up against the Giants. Hawaii with Colt Brennan, I think, is a huge example of that. The Sugar Bowl. And they're blown out by, I think that was Matthew Stafford's Georgia team.
Boise State's the one that like gets the most notoriety for being the small guy that punches back.
Because they're one of the few that have upset. And that's why. But so to the big point, my biggest issue, Indiana punting.
Yeah.
Seemingly to just not get embarrassed.
Just get it going.
And it felt like maybe not this is exactly what they were doing, but it sort of felt like the same with New England. While they were up, they didn't want to give it a chance to where Buffalo could quickly make it 14-14 and all their goodwill was gone.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm sitting there going, even as a Bills fan, going, the Bills are playing the crap. Go get them.
Yeah.
Get after them.
And you kind of have a chance to take advantage of a team not playing their best ball right now.
And there's been too many times, not even the Bills game, it's not even just the fourth down stuff, but hearing from Mike Giardi and other Patriots beat reporters talking about how every week Mayo's walking something back, and you've got some of these players that are on disciplinary issues. And then their drafts are, like, not just Mayo, but their draft is terrible right now outside of May. And so that's where, yes, they are like the biggest threat long term for the Bills, because they maybe have that freak at quarterback. They've got some other issues they've got to figure out first.
Yes.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer sitting in for Shope and the Bulldog, and we are freed up the rest of the way. So love to hear your thoughts on MVP, Bills Jets coming up this weekend, or the thoughts on the NFL, as many of the seeds are kind of wrapped up with now a little under 2 weeks to go, with week 17 already underway. This is WGR.